Tell me something. Are you a member of God's honor roll? Are you? Well, you know, it's not difficult to become a member if you're not already. All you have to do is repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and your name is written down in glory. In glory. Wow. I know my name is. It's been there for a long time, and I wouldn't have it any other way. No, sirree. No, sirree. You know, a fellow once said to me, just as I finished kicking his dog and using every adjective in the devil's handbook, fellow said to me, sir, don't you know it's not nice to speak to people like that? And there was no call for you to kick my dog. So I replied, oh, you just be thankful. I don't know more words to call you. And that hound of yours, he was about to take my leg off. Sir, don't you know when a dog's wagging his tail, he ain't about to bite you? Yeah. Well, you know, that was a long time ago, before I became a child of the King, really. Long, long ago. Have you ever been just so sorry for something that you said or done, and you wanted to go back to that person and apologize? You wanted to go back and apologize? Huh? Oh, trouble is, sometimes we wait a wee bit too long, don't we? Oh, the damage is done. Oh, but you can still apologize. Or is it too late? And we just have to carry that no good account with us the rest of our lives. The rest of our lives. Now, you know, after I got saved and gave my life over to Jesus, I just couldn't imagine doing something like that. Oh, no. I bet you I repented about a dozen times over just that one thing. Oh, it gets better as the years go by. But in the beginning, when you first get saved, you still got to, you know, pray about it. Pray about it. Lord, help me. Help me to be a good Christian, Lord. Cleanse my soul. Cleanse my heart. Cleanse my thoughts. Yeah. Man, whoever said repentance wasn't necessary to please the Lord shouldn't know what he was talking about. How many out there are saved but still live with the consequences of your sins? Huh? Oh, you know, there's never going to get rid of until you get home to glory. Until you get home to glory. Remember King David? He knew he was saved in peace and happiness. In Psalm 51, the word repentance might come to your mind. Verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. What sin was David talking about? Well, how about murder and adultery? Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not the Holy Spirit from me. See, the Holy Spirit can't live in an unclean vessel. Oh, no. And if you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, and you do something that is out of line with God, you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit, you know. So you better know for sure that when you grieve the Holy Spirit, you better start smarting up. Start smarting up. Oh, yes. Was David saved? Of course. But he was afraid that the Holy Spirit would leave him because of his great sin. And look what he says in the first part of verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltness. Deliver me from blood guiltness. Was he not reflecting on the death of Uriah, whom he had killed in battle, so that he could have his wife, Bathsheba? Huh? Oh. How many of you can remember the Sunday school song, Count Your Blessings? I think you all do, don't you? Sure you do. Well, what David was doing day in and day out was craving God's blessings, but counting not his blessings, but his sins. And naming them one by one. You know, I'm saved, but I know I still sin. And I don't even try to name them. But I come to God every day, pray without ceasing, and ask his forgiveness anyway. Because I might have slipped up and not even realized it. Of course, in time you will. In time you will. How many of you remember the Sunday school song, Count Your Blessings? What? Well, what was David doing in that day? That day in and day out. What was he doing? Craving God's blessings. That's what. Craving his blessings. His sins, yes. David was only human just like you and I. He named them one by one. It's easy to package up your sins and say, Lord, forgive me for all my sins, without even naming them. You can do that. I think God likes you to name them, but he knows them anyway. Isn't it more personal, though, to say, please, God, forgive me, Lord. I didn't mean to steal those apples. Not only should we keep short accounts of our misdeeds, but don't you think it's only fair to tell a holy and righteous God exactly what sins you're referring to? Huh? Get them washed away. Lord, please forgive me for being mean to my wife yesterday. Ooh. No wonder she clouted me. Oh, sorry. I'm very sorry, Lord. And I ask you to help me to be stronger and more thoughtful. And to be a better husband, a better father, a better man. Thank you, Lord. Now, may seem small to some, but in the ears of God, very powerful. Oh, yeah, very powerful. Now, you've asked for forgiveness. You've repented. You've asked God to help you not to do it again. Up close and personal, just like any father would want it. Just like any father would want it. You know, you can't get more personal than that. When you talk one-on-one to the Lord God in the name of Jesus. What if you were to stand, what if I were to stand before you and make this statement? You ready? You are going straight to hell. Oh, heaven forbid. Pretty brash statement, huh? Don't you think? I mean, who am I? Who am I to say who is and who isn't going to hell? Bible says you'll know them by their works. Well, that's true enough. But I can't condemn anyone to hell. Neither can you. If that one statement were my entire sermon, or if I stopped right there without saying another word and dropped my microphone on the pulpit, then walked out of the building without saying another word, what would you think? What would you think? Well, there goes another religious nut. Lock the door quick and don't let him back in. Or, has he lost his mind? Oh, yes. Sometimes I think we all lose our mind, at least a little bit. Let me say this before you take any action against me. I didn't finish my statement. What I meant to say is, everybody in here is going straight to hell. If... You notice I didn't stop right there. I paused, but I didn't stop. Everybody in here is going straight to hell. If they have not repented and accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's that simple. It's that simple. So, you can all take a deep breath and relax. Or can you? Or can you? Far be it from me, though, to be your judge. I don't think everybody who attends this church is saved. And part of the reason for making such a statement can be found on Facebook or Twitter or in your daily walk or their church, their church attendance, I mean. Even whether they're a member of the local church. And this is only scratching the surface. That's all. Ladies and gentlemen, the statistics are out. And the estimates are frightening. Frightening. One, up to 95% of all churchgoers are not saved and on their way to heaven. Ouch! Did that hurt? Are you convicted? Did I say something I shouldn't have? This means that if the Lord were to return right now, you'd go to hell. If you weren't saved, right? You'd go to hell. Simple as that. Number two. And this will really chill your soul. Up to a possible 99% of aisle walkers are not really saved and on their way to heaven. They are on their way to hell. Ouch again! Have you ever been with some friends in a church where they gave an invitation and you looked at your buddy next to you and you say to him, "Hey, I'll go walk the aisle if you walk it too." Huh? Yeah, okay, Charlie. You go first, eh? No, we go together. You know, it does happen. It does happen. Oh, man, I tell you. Oh, it's so funny, really, in a way. You know, things even can get greater, either going backwards or going frontwards. Things can get greater. Just the way it is, things there. You see, what most people want is the best of both worlds. Both worlds. They want the world they're living in. They want everything they can get from that. And they want the world to come. They want God's world. They want it. Yeah. What they really want is the best of everything. And they want it now. Not tomorrow, next month, now. Surely God understands the needs of those He has created. And if He created us, then why would He want to destroy us? Makes no sense, huh? God created you. Why would He want to destroy you? Well, you just keep tuned, okay? How many times have you heard someone say, "I led someone to the Lord last night"? You may have led them, but did they follow? Did they follow? Jesus calls His sheep by name, and they know Him. John 10:3 says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear His voice. And He calleth His own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." As a Christian school supervisor, I was sure that every child in my class was saved. 10 years later, when I look in Facebook, I'm sorry, but I'm a little hesitant to rejoice for any of them. I'm a little hesitant. Oh, I can't say for sure who am I to be their judge, but I know most of their lifestyles. And it breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart because I feel like I let those kids down. But it wasn't me who let them down. It was their faith. Their faith. It's not a nice feeling. No, it's not a nice feeling. Repeat after me doesn't always work. A lot of people will stand up when they say, repeat after me, Lord, I believe you went to Calvary and suffered and bled and died for my sins. And you look at Buddy next to you and he's grinning from ear to ear. Did you do it, Charlie? Yeah, I did it, Frank. That's not how it's done. If all the souls that responded to repeat after me really got saved, well, there'd be total rejoicing in heaven, for sure. Total rejoicing in heaven. That's where the victory is. That's where the victory is. But how can we know for sure about salvation? Well, the quick answer is by faith. By faith. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates? Now, a reprobate is a cast off by God, a reject. One who hasn't really repented. Then somebody comes up with the question, how do I know if Jesus is in me? Tell us. How do I know if Jesus is in me? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Are all things becoming new for you? Do you recognize sin when you hear it or see it or do it? Do you recognize it? Do you repent when you do? Do you? Old things will pass away. All things will become new. You can read that line backwards. If ye be in Christ, then Christ is in you. You can read that backwards and still get the same results. However, the key phrase is the last five words. All things are become new. New. And the key word is all. All. Not just some of your sins, all your sins. You're a new creature in Christ. I mean, you can't go to Rome. Here I go. You can't go to Rome on this one. Catholics have a way of categorizing sins. Did you know that? Yeah, it used to be one many years ago. Catholics have a way of categorizing sins. Some sins they call venial. Venial. Which means they're allowed, but be careful. But only in moderation. For example, it's okay to drink and smoke and curse, but only in moderation. On the other hand, those which are deemed as mortal sins, such as murder or infidelity, well, they need to be forgiven by a priest in the confessional. And restitution can only be restored following a sequence of prayers which include an act of contrition along with numerous Hail Marys and Our Fathers. Hey, you may also be required to light a candle in the grotto. And be sure to place an offering, of course, in the receptacle on your way out. How do you know if Jesus is in you? Well, you will have new thoughts, for one thing. You'll have new desires and a new way of conducting your daily walk, your daily life. For example, remember how one day you thought how you were going to get even with your neighbor down the street for running over your child's bike? Huh? And as a born-again Christian, you will instead forgive and love your neighbor because Christ is in you by way of the Holy Spirit. And this is what He would do. Forgive. Forgive. Wow. How wonderful is that? How do you know if Jesus is in you? Well, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, we're not talking about your mother-in-law. Oh, excuse me. Or those jeans you've been wearing for the past several years. So don't rush out to Target determined to buy a new outfit, okay? Actually, what we're talking about, those old friends in your lifestyle. Could be the books you read, the movies you watch, or even the company you keep, or playing the lottery. Ask yourself, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? How do you know if Jesus is in you? Behold, all things are become new. Your tastes, your desires, they change. Not always overnight. Through prayer, contemplation, new friends of a similar faith. Your desire to be in the house of God. That's part of it. When the doors are open, and to be baptized and become a member. To pray always. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says, especially for your brothers and sisters of the faith, and also the little children. The little children. How precious they are. How do you know if Jesus is in you? Well, you begin to copy Jesus. Yeah. I'm not saying you get nailed to a cross. No. You'll speak His words and walk His walk. You got that? You'll speak His words and walk His walk. But most of all, you'll know if Jesus is in you when others begin to recognize such. Like, for example, somebody saying, I ain't going with him. Mr. Goody Two-Shoes never makes a mistake. You never hear him talking the way he feels. I don't know who he thinks he is. No. You don't have to overdo the things that would convince the minds of those who see you. All you have to do is walk a straight line. And that's hard, I know. Walk that straight line that leads to the cross. Think before you speak. Think before you act. But most of all, you'll know if Jesus is in you when others begin to recognize such. If someone hungers, give them food. If they thirst, give them drink. If they ask for your coat, give them your overcoat too. If they ask to sleep on your rug, Give them your bed. Okay? How do you know if Jesus is in you? Well, you'll know. You'll know. And others will know too. You'll know by your prayer life, your desire to want to be pleasing unto God. You'll know. Now, I'm not trying to say, well, religion, this is a feeling. That's all it is. I'm not trying to say that. How do you know that Jesus is in you? Well, you know, we have some more reasons coming up. And we're going to do that next week. I want to thank you for listening today, though. I pray and hope that you would consider listening regular to this battle site for Christ. Oh, we have a lot to say about God's thoughts, about His ways and His will for you. And we're a King James authorized 1611 people. We are. We love Him. Do you love Him too? Let's say a quick prayer and then we'll say goodbye for now. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for giving me this time to share on the Just Jesus Network. I pray, Lord, that those who heard this message today, Lord, would be encouraged by it, would be filled, Lord, with some direction that they might have, that they might get from it without having to wonder, Lord, because God's Word is so true. It's so to the point, Lord. I pray, Lord, that precious souls will be saved because of it. And I ask You, Lord, that You'd allow me to continue to be a servant in Your name. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.